Welcome to another episode of Morning Coffee with your host, Rick Alexander. I started this show to talk about all of the interesting, complex, paradoxical, and sometimes uncomfortable aspects of the human experience. If you get anything from this show, the greatest compliment you could give me is to share this show with somebody that you think the message may resonate with, or to head to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. Additionally, if you want to interact with me, you can follow me at RickAlexander_ on Instagram. Without further ado, on to the show. Good morning. Happy Monday. Welcome back to Morning Coffee. This week I'm going to do something a little bit different with this show. I'm going to air a clip from Ambitious Heroes and Heartache. That is my newly released audiobook. You can check it out on audible.com. You can check it out on Amazon. I will probably have it up in other places like iTunes at some point in the future. But right now, all my work is on Amazon. So you can check it out by searching Rick Alexander or by searching Ambitious Heroes and Heartache. Today I'm going to air The Price of Settling. Enjoy. Chapter 15, The Price of Settling. Howard Thurman said, "Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive, and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive." It's normal to feel as though you want something, but that the thing that you want is at odds with what you believe that you can have. The resulting life is stuck somewhere in the middle of beating yourself up for wanting it and for trying to get it. The real issue is that most people are not at all comfortable questioning their internal belief system, and instead will wrestle their entire lives with what they want. Before they ever get it, they believe it will always be there to remind them that they can't have it. I'm betting that if you were given a magic wand and told that a single wave would render your entire life perfectly as you would want it, you would find that you're not currently living that dream life. You may even think that that's obvious. Maybe you'd want $1 million or a mansion or a sports car or some other arbitrary metric of success that you've overheard other people talking about. But that vision is just a stand-in. What happens is that people have formed ideas about success throughout their lives, and until they really let themselves go for it, they will keep that picture of what success would look like. That usually is how they answer the question, "If I had $1 million, I would blank." If they never let themselves pursue or attain that dream, it will be the thing that remains in the distance and stands as the symbol of what they can't have in life. Often they will reason that it's not for them, and the advice they will give others is, "You've got to be reasonable." Those are the most common type in society today. The ones who went out on a single limb, had it break, came back, and concluded that it wasn't reasonable to ever stand on a limb. The next common type are the ones that really let themselves go for the first version of what success looks like to them, regardless of the pain it incurs. This often results in an eventual extreme shift in worldview as they get close enough to the glitter to see that it's not gold. It doesn't matter if this person built a $1 million business, a small business, or became a nurse or anything else. What happens is that they are making judgments about success, and as they succeed, they tend to realize that it's outside of their value system. Usually it's around 3 or 4 decades into life where people decide that they want something else for their lives than what they originally thought. Sometimes family becomes more important, and sometimes impact to the world becomes more important. In any case, this second group of people often get stuck feeling as though they can't pivot. It's as if there's too much pressure on them to maintain the kingdom and the appearance. Regardless of your formulated picture of success, what I want to bring to your attention is that it can be questioned. There are different roles for different people at different times in their lives. Your life isn't measured by the one game you were meant to play, but by how you conduct yourself as you play many games across the span of your life. While we tend to kick life off by using comparison to build our model of success in the world, that model should be up for questioning at any time. Consistently do your best to ask yourself the hard questions about what you want. Ask yourself if you're actually going to be happy. In fact, ask yourself if you would still want that thing if no one was ever going to know about it. That's where you'll be happiest. if we dug into those things and question them, you may find that they don't hold up to scrutiny. Why do you want those things? What do they really mean to you? What do they represent to you that makes you feel like you need them? What else do you want? What are your relationships like? What is your schedule like? Who are your friends and what are they like? There are arguably many ways to go about getting your dream life, but all of them are useless if you don't know what that life looks like in the first place. Go beyond material and truly learn to build a vision for your life. What would your soul need? What would you need in order to wake up every single day and feel like you're living a life that is worth all of the struggle you put into it? This is a question that needs answering because lots of people are out here acting as if life isn't worth it. My question would be, have you ever given yourself what you really need? Not what you want, because that's subjected to material status and wounded behavior, but what you need. What do you need to feel centered? What makes you come alive and breathe life into your days? We have to try not to let outside expectations box us into living smaller and then resent the entire system when our lives are smaller or less than we want them to be. It's a form of victimizing yourself, and it will happen to anyone that isn't aware and doesn't demand boundaries around their ambition and time here on Earth. If we got down to it, most people wouldn't even know what direction in which to wave the wand. This is because most of us, myself included, are somewhat lost to who we really are and what we really want. Much of that stems back to the fact that we're fighting a battle with the should mentality. The advantage for that second group of people is that they have engaged with the world enough to see that everything you could want often turns out to be a false utopia. What they really find out is that humans weren't meant for utopia. We need the right amount of trouble and hardship to forge ourselves against, and a full life won't be yours until you go out and learn what that hardship is trying to teach you. Often what we do want seems individualistic in nature, so we bury our true ambitions deep down inside. We're conditioned to believe we should want something more altruistic or more responsible than what we do want, and so here we are, gridlocked in the middle, doing what we think we should do and avoiding what we want to do. You have to learn to reconcile your own intrinsic value system with the one the world put on you, or you'll spend much of your time in the fight that never lets you have what you want. We never face the things we really want, so we set up shop in the land of should, the land of settling and mediocrity. It's where we've built our entire culture. You do want money, but believe that you should only want virtue. So deep down, the confliction manifests as resentment. Resentment toward what you want, but what your subconscious won't ever allow you to have. Rich people are greedy anyway, you might say. You do want to look good naked, but that sounds vain, and you should strive for health and self-love, and since you've decided those things are at odds, you relent, and that manifests as baggy clothes hiding a body you'd rather not show off and ambitions you hope to keep hidden as well, so that they don't earn you a label of conceited. You think if you want to change something about yourself, you must not love yourself. People that want to change their bodies are unhappy anyway, you'll reason. You do want freedom in your time to do activities, hobbies, and things that interest you, but you should work hard at a stable job so that manifests as you working 40 or more hours a week for someone else's dream, while you continue to live for the weekends. But they've got great benefits, you might reason. You do want to travel the world, but you should get a mortgage because it's such a great investment, and that manifests as at least $250,000 in debt, handcuffs to the job you may or may not like, and a semi-permanent anchor ensuring that you never get to explore all of the areas in the world that are begging for your presence. But it's the American dream, you might say. And you do want a relationship that gives you sex like a 90s R&B song, adventure you can't believe you get to share with someone else, and a level of comfort that allows someone else to know you for your quirky true self. But the last time you went for it, you got your heart broken, and who in the hell would want to repeat that? Plus, according to society, you should be settled down by now. So we stick with the safe bet, and all of our settling down inadvertently becomes settling for. But they're good to me. Plus, dating is hard, you might say. You want to be known for having made a contribution to the world that you can be proud of. On some level, we all crave significance, but you have surely been told to be wary of taking on too much. And maybe that's true. Maybe the weight of your ambitions would crush you if you ever really went after them. But then again, maybe they wouldn't. Maybe you're actually perfectly positioned to accomplish that one thing you've always wanted to do, or running that one business you've always wanted to start. And isn't this inauthentic life kind of crushing you anyway? Sure, it's not an acute pain, but the constant vying for attention from people that don't freely give it and desperately trying to live up to someone else's invisible standards can't be that easy. It's likely that at least one of the above shoulds are running your life right now like they do mine when I'm not aware. We have a seriously hard time confronting the things that we really want because of some sort of misplaced altruism or allegiance to a standard we never asked for, which calls into question a bigger problem. We're settling, but do we even know what the actual cost is of all this settling? The cost is precisely what the outcome might be if you stopped settling, but it's actually more than you might imagine, because there's more than just you to consider. There's the personal cost, which is essentially the life you're leaving on the table and won't get to live as a consequence. But there's also the impact to the world at large. What if you began to prioritize yourself and the things you want? How much better might your life be? How much happier might you be? If you were to be happier, fitter, or have more money, how much better would you be positioned to help the world around you? Think back to the previous chapter. How much better could you impact the world should the cost of an extra coffee have no bearing on your budget? What if your radical change in health inspired the people around you to do the same? Finally, what if you believe that a happier and healthier world started with you first giving those things to yourself? If you were to tend to your needs first and foremost and ensure that you were the best possible version of you that you could be, how much better would the world be for having someone as amazing as you in it? This is the paradox. This is not opposition. To help others, we must first help ourselves. To love others, we must first love ourselves. We don't do these things for ourselves at the cost of others. What business isn't the world getting because you're too afraid to start it? How much better would that stranger's day be if you smiled in the morning because of the opportunity before you, instead of glumly walking by as you head for the fate you feel locked into? This is going to sound radical. But what if we all smiled in the morning because of that same opportunity? It's almost impossible to know the ripple effect that chasing your ambitions would have if we were to place them in the right place. What we do know for sure is the outcome when we allow the fear of going against the grain to dictate our actions. This is worth noting because you're already aware of the downside. If you go for it, like really go all in on the life that you want, and it ends up not working out, you know you can go back to living for the weekends. The rat race is always accepting applications. All of the things that you should do are zapping you of your energy and robbing you of your natural gifts and talents. The unfortunate byproduct of that same settling is that the world is being robbed of the authentic you, and that you might be poised to do something great. The chances of getting your dream career, relationship, or lifestyle might be slim, but they're not zero. Right now, while you cling to what appears safe and familiar, while you avoid your true ambitions like they're that weird guy you went on one awkward date with, they are zero. Quit being so afraid of what you really want. You want to have your cake and eat it too, but we've all been conditioned to believe that this isn't a realistic expectation. But the truth is, having a cake you're not allowed to taste would suck. The same thing goes for your life. Figure out exactly what it is you want and begin baking. But don't think for a second that it won't take work. Metaphorically speaking, figuring out a way to eat cake and still look good naked is no easy task. The way I see it, if we don't have an alternative, a life of constant safety is nothing more than a slow death. Don't you want the best for yourself? The best experiences, the best foods, and the best the world has to offer? And aren't you worthy of that? Aren't you going to be working hard either way? Aren't you going to struggle either way? We get what we accept in this life, and if you accept a life that you should want, you'll never get what you actually want. Make lists of things you want to do, places you want to go, and experiences you want to have. Explore things and ideas that interest you. For God's sake, make this life your own. Go out on a limb. Ask that person out on a date. Go against the grain. Start a business. Dedicate yourself to things, even if other people don't understand them. Say yes when you're scared and no when you're bored. Start practicing radical self-awareness. Do the world a favor and just be you. Unabridged, raw, original you. In a world full of half-hearted replicas, we could use more authentic humans. You might not create the next Apple or Google, but honestly, even waking up in the morning with the hope that you might is about 1,000 times better than punching the clock day in and day out, laying bricks for a building in which you don't even want to live.